Folks, today, I want to spend time talking about Jesus. The very reason why we are here today is because of Jesus. And I want to, the best I can, just remind us of who Jesus really is. And we'll be spending a fair amount of time in Scripture again, looking at the Word of God, because it's no good me just saying these things. We need to see what the Bible says. So, you know, there's incredible, incredible power and there's incredible authority in the name of Jesus. So I've titled today's message, The Name of Jesus. Okay, The Name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And I'm going to speak a little bit about that because that is just amazing. In Hebrews 1, verse 4, the Bible says, He, talking about Jesus, has by inheritance obtained a name, obtained a more excellent name. What an amazing name is this name of Jesus. You know, what's so exciting about the name of Jesus is that there is authority in His name. And we'll talk a little bit about this authority as well. The name of Jesus actually reaches higher and further than the furthest star that you've ever looked at. Do you know that? Because He was there when that star was put in place. And we'll chat around that as well. Folks, amazing, amazing, amazing name, the name of Jesus. So, I want to just look at a few scriptures here this morning, talking about Jesus. And the first thing is, the name of Jesus is a saving name. A saving name. You can receive salvation because of what Jesus has done. It says in Matthew 1 verse 21, it says, You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. And this is very interesting because salvation is something that when you go to the Old Testament, and so often the Old Testament prophets spoke about salvation and the coming one, that one could receive salvation through. So, and of course we know it's Jesus. So the name of Jesus is a powerful, powerful name, and it's a name that saves. It's a name that saves sinners. People receive salvation. He is our Savior. In Acts 4 verse 12 it says, And there is salvation in no one else. Listen to this. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. So I want to say to you that Buddha cannot save you. Muhammad cannot save you. Krishna cannot save you. It says no one else, only one name. And that is the name of Jesus. Only Jesus can save us. So there's no other name that you and I can take, or take the faith that we have and put that faith into and put our trust into. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing that we see about the name of Jesus is that the name of Jesus is a devil-defeating name. Say that. Just say it out loud. We need to hear this. The name of Jesus is a devil-defeating name. It says in Mark 16, verse 17, and this is Jesus speaking, where He says, And these signs will accompany those who believe. Who of us are believers here today? Okay. So these are the signs that will accompany us. In My name, they will cast out demons. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Folks, this is a sign that will follow you. A sign that will follow you. You will cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Why? Because there is power and there is authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't use our own name. I can't cast out a demon in the name of Dave. In fact, we see a story in the Bible about that. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? We all know that story. What happened to that guy? Right? Folks, and this I suppose is the difference between some of these kind of faith teachers and so on, where they will stand up and it's as if they have all the power and the authority. As believers, all the power and all the authority is in the name of Jesus. I want to ask you a question this morning. As a believer, when was the last time you cast out a demon from someone? And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Folks, Jesus has given you and I as believers, He's given us the authority to use His name. We have the authority. We're allowed to use His name. In other words, we have been given power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. And power of attorney means that it's as if Jesus was standing right here and He was signing a document. But He says, look, you know, instead of Him signing, He's given me the authority to sign that document. That's really what power of attorney is. It's as if He was right here, standing here. And the Word of God says that we have the power of attorney, we have the authority to use the name of Jesus and do what He's told us to do. You know, in Luke 10 verse 17 it says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, they came back to Jesus and this is what they said. They're saying, Lord, even demons are subject to your name. They were blown away. They went out there, came back to Jesus, and they must have experienced something. And they said to Jesus, wow, we were out there, and we used your name. And even demons are subject to your name. Watch what Jesus' response is. He says in verse 18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now this is interesting. There's two things. First of all, who's Satan? Okay, that's the devil on planet Earth at the moment. Right. He's the one that is causing all your problems. Right? Now, Satan, before he became Satan, the Bible speaks about Lucifer, the archangel, and Lucifer was absolutely beautiful, and he was kind of responsible for the praise and worship that went on in heaven. And the Bible kind of describes him as having musical instruments in his being. Really beautiful. But the Word of God says that pride was found in him. What did he do? We know the story. He tried to elevate himself above God. And what he did, he went to a third of the angels and he said, listen guys, back me and I will overthrow God. All right? And he must have been so convincing because a third of the angels believed it. They backed him. And we know what happened. We saw it right there. Jesus says, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven when God kicked him out of heaven and he became Satan. And a third of the angels, which are now demons that are operating right now. Some of them are earthbound demons. Some of them are in the heavenlies. But a third of the angels are interfering with our lives right now. But what's interesting about this is that Jesus said that he was there. He says, I was there. I saw it right there. He goes on to say, he says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. In other words, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have authority over the works of the evil one. We have it, folks. Okay? That's what Jesus said. Over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Whatever power the enemy has, Jesus said he's given us the authority over that. And then he also said, and nothing shall hurt you. Too often people are so intimidated because of a backlash. I know, I've spoken to people. Gee, I know, look, brother, you know, I don't take authority over demons. Why not? Well, you know what? You never know what's going to come. It's like they're intimidated. This is because we do not know our authority, and this is because we do not stand on the Word and start to do what Jesus is telling us to do. I'd rather let the pastor go and cast the demon out of somebody else. I'm not going to get involved in that. Jesus said, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and behold, I have given you, us, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Whatever power the enemy has, we have authority there, right? I've given that nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. So folks, Jesus has given you and I the authority. And I just believe that the church needs to wake up. The church needs to start to step out in the authority that we have been given. And not only stepping out in this authority, but doing it boldly. But part of this, we need to make sure that we have a deep relationship with the Lord. That we are walking closely to the Lord. That we have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. But these are the things that you and I should be doing. So the question is, are you and I using the authority that we have been given? Right? I think the time has come. And maybe that kind of picture that I shared with us this morning about that road, maybe it's the end for some of us to play church, where we are playing church, and let's get serious about our Savior and make sure that we start to operate between those yellow lines and do what He's called us to do and not keep on seeing how close to the edge we can stand in terms of the life that we're living right now. I think there's a waking up of the body of Christ, and we need to be on top of this curve, brothers and sisters. Let me say that. Let's just be there. Let's start to make sure, number one, that our relationship with the Lord is in a good place, that we're doing what He's called us to do, and let's go and start to use the authority that He has vested in us. The next thing about the name of Jesus is a prayer answering name. Prayer answering name. Who of us here today would like to make sure that God not only hears our prayers, but He responds to our prayers? I'm sure that is all of us as believers, right? And you know that when we go to God, when we ask God for something, that prayer is the prayer of petition, where we ask God for something. And Krisha actually spoke about this a little while ago when she taught on prayer. But just this one verse is so important, because I believe many people miss the mark because they don't know even how to pray. Jesus said this in John 15 verse 16. He said, "So that whatever you ask the Father in My name, that He may give it to you." Now there's a few interesting things here. So when we pray this prayer of petition, who do we ask? Do we ask Jesus for whatever it is that we want? Jesus says, you ask the Father. And so often we're asking Jesus because we're not meditating on the Word. We're not understanding what He's saying to us. Jesus says that we ask the Father, He says, in His name. So when that prayer of petition, we're asking God for something, it's asking God the Father in the name of Jesus. And then who will give it to us? It says that He, the Father, may give it to you. So folks, prayers are answered. These prayers of petition, when we ask in the name of Jesus. The Bible is very clear. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And we also know too that God is more than able. That He wants to. He wants to respond. So we need to start to ask. The next thing, the name of Jesus. How many of us know that the name of Jesus is a healing name? Healing. You know, it's interesting. Wherever Jesus went, and He says, and they were healed, and all were healed. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is our responsibility now. Where we start to pray for people, and there needs to be an expectation that healing will take place. It's a healing name. You know that God has created people, and He knows everything about people. He understands, the livers and the kidneys and the eyes, and He's made us, right? So He knows how our body works, and the Bible says that nothing is too difficult for Him. Do you think it's too difficult to heal somebody from whatever it is? Folks, if you go and have a look at Jesus' ministry, that He just so wanted to heal people. In actual fact, when it comes to this, Jesus says that us, in these times we are living now, He says, greater things will we do in His name than He even did. And we know that He raised people from the dead. When last did you raise someone from the dead? Like I said a little while ago, we want to have revival in this place. you know, all we need to do is have some dead person here. And we stand around and we pray for them and they jump up. All right? Bethlehem will be saved. We can see the reason is that there's lack of belief. That's why Bethlehem isn't saved and surrounding areas. So God has created our body and He knows how the body works, and nothing is too difficult for Him. We see in Acts 3, verse 6. We know the story. Remember the guy that was sitting outside the gate beautiful? Gate beautiful. Remember, he was a lame guy, cripple. And he was sitting there. And in actual fact, you know, as I was going through all of this, it was possible that Jesus walked past him many, many times because he had been there often. He was there like every day. They put him there. Right? So what happened? This guy is sitting there and he's now a beggar. So he's asking for money. So what happens? Peter and John were walking along. They were going to the temple. And they looked and they see this guy sitting there. And let me pick it up in verse 6. And Peter said, I have no silver and gold. So obviously this guy was expecting some money or something, beggar. He says, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know what Peter did there? He stepped out in faith. Jesus wasn't around anymore. So Peter stepped out in faith. And it goes on to say, and he took him by the right hand and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up. So this guy that has been crippled and he's at the gate beautiful and he's been there for yonks, right? And leaping up, he stood and he began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. The name of Jesus. The power and authority in the name of Jesus. Folks, when we pray for people in the name of Jesus, it will invoke His power and His presence. God's power is really on the tip of our tongue. You know that with that situation, there were no medicines. They didn't put medicine on a guy's legs, whatever was wrong. They didn't give him any tablets, right? How was God's power released right there? His power was released right there by the words that Peter spoke. If Peter hadn't spoken, that guy would still be sitting there. And God's power is released by the words that you and I speak. That's how it works. In Acts 3:6, I'll read it again. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We need to ask ourselves a question here. When last did we step out in faith like Peter did there? Because we see that once Peter stepped out in faith once and he saw that response, man, you know, he did amazing things. I want to say God wants to do amazing things through us. Each one of us that have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. You know, I'm always encouraged to kind of step out in faith, you know, and pray for people's healings. Mainly because when I was a baby Christian, I saw lots of miracles in this area. And I somehow think God is just, when it comes to somebody that's a relatively young Christian or somebody that is kind of new in the faith, it's like there's, God just wants to reveal Himself. And I want to say to us today, if you know you feel, well, you know, I'm just kind of not there yet. As a young Christian, just step out in faith and be amazed what He does. It's like I don't want to say He prefers, but maybe there's more of an expectation of us that have been Christians for longer, right, in terms of our faith and so on. But with a baby Christian, and when they pray for sick people, you see incredible things. We need to step out of the boat. We really do. So healing takes place when we pray in the name of Jesus. Then also the name of Jesus is a gathering name. People come together in the name of Jesus. In other words, the name of Jesus encourages community, like we are here. We're gathering together in His name. And what's so interesting about this is that we can't gather together in His name without Him being in our midst. It's not going to happen. If we gather together, listen to what he said in, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 18:20. He said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name," so if just two or three of us gather, if it was just two or three of us, but we specifically came together in his name, "where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Jesus is here this morning, folks. He's here. He's here. He's with us. And you know, when a few of us gather together like this in his name, we know that he's there. What is he doing? He's directing our counsel. He starts to direct our counsel, releasing his understanding when we gather like this. He starts to rule in our hearts. What does he do when he rules in our hearts? He releases joy as we gather together like this. When we gather together like this, he actually removes concern. And what does he do? He releases peace in the place of concern and anxiety and so on. He gives us instruction. He gives us direction. Why? By releasing his wisdom in our situations. So he's with us, the Bible says, blessing us and giving us success in whatever we do. In fact, the Bible says, as believers, whatever you put your hand to do, what does it say? You'll bless it. You'll bless it, whatever you put your hand to do. But we need to have that relationship and with him and involve him. The next thing about the name of Jesus. Are we okay? No one's sleeping yet. We don't have to. How's the temperature in here? Are we okay? Huh? Is it hot in here? All right. The name of Jesus is a knee-bowing, tongue-confessing name. I'll say it again. The name of Jesus is a knee-bowing, tongue-confessing name. And we see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him." So Jesus, we know, was highly exalted to a very high position. We know that Jesus was the mediator between God and man. "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name." In other words, no name can be compared to the name of Jesus. "So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow." Now this is interesting. Where will the knees bow? In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. In hell, yeah, right? Folks, Jesus stands alone. Okay, there's no other name that can be compared to him. We know that he is our Redeemer. The Bible tells us he's our Savior. He's the Anointed One. He is the Son of God. He is our Counselor. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. This is who Jesus is. In Philippians 2:10 it says, "So that at the name of Jesus, every knee," not some knees, "every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth." So whose knees will be bowing in heaven? When we get there, our knee will be bowing in heaven. The angels that are there right now, their knees are bowing in heaven. Then what about on earth? Whose knees will bow on earth? Believers, we are believers. We will bow our knee at the name of Jesus. And those people that are on earth that have rejected God's gift to mankind, where are they going to be ultimately? The Word talks about it. Okay? If you reject Jesus, ultimately, it will be in a real place called hell. And he says, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. It's talking about hell. So any demon in hell, their knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Any person that has rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior on planet earth, when they get there, their knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Folks, every knee will bow. Okay? And everything that God has created, in other words, will bow its knee to the name of Jesus. So this is interesting how powerful this name is. So folks, here's a question. How should we treat the name of Jesus? How do we treat the name of Jesus? We should have a real reverence for his name, the name of Jesus. You know, I was just thinking about this. Satan has gone out there and he's tried to take the name of Jesus Christ and turn it into a swear word. You hear people. Television as well. I mean, last night I was going through like this and I stopped at something. It was on for 3 seconds and I had to move on. You know, blaspheming like you can't believe. So Satan is manipulating people to get them to use the name of Jesus as a swear word. When last did you hear somebody stand up and say, "Oh, Buddha"? "Oh, Krishna"? I'm asking you. This is interesting, right? Because you don't hear it. Because Satan's not worried about that, right? I had a situation, I might have shared this some time back. When I was working in corporate business, my immediate boss used to blaspheme in front of me. And I listened to this, and it was kind of now and again, and then it started getting quite regular. So I said to him, I said, "Listen, you know, I'm a believer, and what you're saying, really, I find it extremely offensive. I do. I find it very offensive. And would it be okay that, you know, if I'm there, I'd just rather that you don't, you know, go and use these names wherever you want to be, but just not when I'm around." So it was quite interesting because I think he wasn't overly enthusiastic about that. But, straight away, half his conversation disappeared. But what happened was just amazing because he stopped for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. When I was around, I didn't hear it. And then he started again. And I remember sitting in zone meetings with people from Paris and board meetings, all these different meetings. Now I'm sitting there with this guy, and it is Jesus and then Christ used as swear words. And I was sitting in one meeting one day, and I said to the Lord, "Lord, what do I do in this situation where I'm hearing this blaspheming all the time?" And this is so interesting. I believe the Lord said to me, he said, "My son, every time, you know, he uses my name in vain, what I want you to do, just under your lips, start to praise me and exalt me and glorify me. Just use it as a reminder for you to praise me." So now what's happening, now I'm sitting in meetings, I'm just about praising the Lord all the time. Okay? But the amazing thing happened. So it was like that for a very, very short period. And then suddenly this guy never, ever used the Lord's name in front of me again. And I want to tell you why I believe is because Satan got so irritated. You know, he was using this thing and it was affecting me and probably others. But now when I confronted it, now every time he's using the name of Jesus, now I start to praise you, Lord, worship you, Lord. You know, just having my own little prayer meeting, exalting the Lord. He was not happy with that. Boom. End of story. Never had a problem again. And I was there for a long time. Interesting. So folks, we need to have reverence for this name. Name of Jesus. Right back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 57 verse 15, it says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." Talking about Jesus. I want to say that Jesus is God, Jesus was God, Jesus remains God, and Jesus will always be God. That's the way it is. He is, he was, he remains, and always will be. And we can see this in the Bible as well. And I want to just go through a couple of scriptures pointing this out so we, you know, we can see it in the Word. The first one, Jesus is God, is present tense. And we see in John 1 verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word." Right? So, in the beginning. So Jesus was there right before creation. "And the Word was with God." Right? Jesus is the Word. We know that. "And the Word was God." Jesus is God. So right there, we can see that Jesus is the living Word. And He's the living Logos. You know, when you talk about the Word of God, it's either Logos or Rhema. But Jesus, when He was on planet Earth as a man, He was on Earth the living Logos, the living Word. Then what about, you know, the first one, that is Jesus is God. What about Jesus was God? Past tense. In Colossians 1:17 it says, "And He is before all things." Before all things. "And in Him all things hold together." So if Jesus was before all things that we see right here, he must have been right there at creation because he created all things. And that is probably equivalent to us saying that Jesus is eternal before all things. And Jesus sustains his creation and he makes sure that things just don't go out of sync. When, you know, the earth's starting to get a bit of a speed wobble and, you know, Mars is... No, he just keeps it all in place like that. Okay. So why? So things don't disintegrate and things don't fall apart. So he's got the whole world in his hand. So we can see Jesus is God. He was God. And then Jesus remains God. He doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. So, folks, he is trustworthy in his position as the high priest and also as the Son of God. And I can just thank the Lord that Jesus isn't like us. That he's not like us. Because we change. We change. Imagine if Jesus just, you know, today said, you know what? I actually don't like people anymore. Imagine that. If he just suddenly didn't love us anymore. Can you imagine if you just decided today, you know what? I think I feel like tinkering with gravity. People flying all over the place. No, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Not like us. And then finally, he will always be God. And this is Jesus speaking in Revelation 22:13. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. And it was Jesus that actually organized the whole plan for salvation, that we may receive salvation. And it will be Jesus that determines when that is all going to close up. So he formed the world. He was right there at the beginning, and he's going to wind up the affairs of the world as well. He is there in the beginning, he's here right now in the present, and he's there in the future. Amen. Just in closing here, just a couple of questions. What about Jesus and his relationship with the Father? Have you thought about that? Jesus, his relationship with the Father. I just want to read a couple of scriptures. Philippians 2:6. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside his privileges of deity, that's him being God, and he took on the status of a slave and he became human. John 10:30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Then what about Jesus and his involvement in creation? Was he there? Well, let's look at the scripture. 1 John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he, Jesus, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. All things made through Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. So we can see right there that right from the beginning, he was very involved, and he was very involved at creation as well. This Jesus we're speaking about. And what about Jesus and who he is or who he was when he came in the flesh? What does the Bible say about that? Now it's quite interesting because this is a prophetic word from the book of Isaiah. This is before Jesus came. In Isaiah 9:6 it says, for to us a child is born, flesh, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is who Jesus is. And then, what about Jesus' relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Father in heaven? The Bible speaks about that. In 1 John 5:7 it says, there were three that bear record in heaven. Three in heaven. Where? Heaven. The Father, the Word, we know Jesus is the Word, and the Holy Spirit. and these three are one. Here it talks about the Trinity. We were singing that earlier on, the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, that they are one, the triune God. And this is an area where many, many false religions start to differ and come up with their own wacky doctrine. They will not accept the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So just in closing, I want to read a portion of Scripture here. I want to read from Colossians 1, verse 15 through to verse 20. And this again just tells us about who Jesus is. Colossians 1, verse 15 to verse 20. Listen to this. This is the Jesus that we serve. Verse 15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. That is the Jesus, folks, that we serve. That is the God that we serve. He is a mighty, mighty God. Amen. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. And I just hope that even as we go through a message like this, it's just a reminder. I know we know all of this stuff, but sometimes it's good to have it kind of in rapid fire, reminding us of who it is that we serve, this King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we're just so thankful for Your Word this morning. That we have access to Your Word, that we can learn from Your Word, that we can learn more about You from Your Word. Thank You, Father, for that. And thank You, Holy Spirit, for just being in our midst this morning. That in all we say and all we do, that the name of Jesus is exalted in this place. And just with your heads bowed, is there anybody here? You're not sure about your eternity. You're not sure where you're going to spend eternity. I want to say, if you are 98% sure, it's not good enough. We need to be 100% sure. So if that's you, I'd like to pray for you so that you can have assurance of your salvation that I can just show you from the Word of God. Is there anybody here this morning? Thank you, Lord. So again, Father, we just say thank you. And Lord, as we go our separate ways, we thank you for your angels that encamp around us, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. In Jesus' name. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.